Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Thanking God for a new day. Thanking God for his grace. Thanking God for his mercy toward me. Hallelujah. Thanking God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm thankful. I'm grateful. And as always, I am truly, truly blessed to be child of the Most High God, who causes me to triumph in his holy, holy name. Whew, hallelujah. Yeah, I know we keep it real. And keeping it real, I would still be asleep. Hallelujah. But God woke me up this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know how it is when you get a rainy day. You just kind of get drowsy, and the next thing you know, you're sound asleep. And that's what happened to me. But God, thank you, God. Father God in heaven, I thank you for this day that you have made, Lord. I rejoice and I'm glad in it. Thankful that you woke me up this morning, Lord God. Clothed in my right mind, Lord God, with a voice to speak and a pep in my step. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father God, for your grace and your mercy toward me this morning. And, Lord, I ask that you increase as I decrease. Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and gracious sight. Oh, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. And our word for this morning is coming out of the Hebrew word. It's also just a little bit of Psalms. And the word that God gave me this morning is, he is also able to save to the utmost those who come to God through him. Hallelujah. Let's say it with me. He is able to save to the utmost those who come to God through him. And we know we can only get to the Father through the Son. Hallelujah. And, you know, as we get into our word this morning, we're going to talk about Melchizedek, the priesthood of, in the book of Hebrew. But first, we're going to get into talking about prophet liars. That's what I want to call them. Thank you, my sister in Christ, Leah, you know, coined this phrase some years ago, when Moving Forward was a talk show. And I tell you something, it is the truth. We are talking prophet liars. You know, and that's what God, he can't stand a prophet liar. He can't stand folks getting up talking about, well, God said this and God said that. If God ain't told you to do it, don't do it. And how you know God did tell you to do it? When everything falls into place. Everything falls into place. As I was speaking on yesterday. Whew, thank you, Jesus. As I was speaking on yesterday and talked about how God put in my spirit, woke me up to go see my father-in-law for Father's Day. Again, I didn't know it was going to be my last one. Then he told me to go to Ohio. Again, didn't know it was going to be the last time I saw him alive. But God, we follow and do what God says do. Everything falls into place. But when you try to do you, you're going to have a mess. But I thank God this morning that I follow him. I trust in him, believe in him, and I do as he tells me to do. Hallelujah. And sometimes when God, they say, well, God told me this and God told me that. You know, if your word that God told you to tell does not have any come to any fruition, God didn't have anything to do with that mess. And again, it could be like these prophets, where the word didn't come to pass for 40 years, like Jeremiah. Then God said that it wouldn't come to pass right away. But when God said 70 years you would be in bondage, 70 years they were in bondage. Come on now. Children of Israel, 11-day trip turned into 40 years. Why? Rebellion. And when you listen to everybody but God, it's a form of rebellion. And this is what the word of God tells us this morning in Ezekiel chapter 13 and Ezekiel 14. In Ezekiel chapter 13, it says this, and the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, and we're talking Ezekiel, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who prophesy and say to those who prophesy out of their own heart, hear the word of the Lord, own heart. I'm a prophesy what I want to say, not what God tells me to say. And it says, thus says the Lord God, woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Oh, Israel, your prophets are like foxes in the desert who have not gone up into the gaps to build a hill, a wall, for the house of Israel to stand in battle on the day of the Lord. They have envisioned brutality and false divination, saying, thus says the Lord, but the Lord has not sent them, yet they hope that the word may be confirmed. Have you not seen a futile vision? Have you not spoken false divinations? You say the Lord says, but I have not spoken. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have spoken nonsense. Come on now. You have spoken nonsense and envisioned lies. Therefore, I am indeed against you, says the Lord God. My hand will be against the prophets who envision brutality and who divine not lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, nor be written in the record of the house of Israel, nor shall they enter into the land of Israel. Then you shall know. Ooh, come on now. God don't play. You shall know I am. Say it with me. I am the Lord God, because indeed, because they have seduced my people, saying peace, then there is no peace. And one builds a wall, and they plaster it with untempered mortar. Say to those who plaster it with untempered mortar that it will fall. There will be flooding rain, and you, O great hailstorms, shall fall. Stormy wind shall tear it down. Surely, when the wall has fallen, will it not be said to you, where is the mortar with which you plastered it? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will cause a stormy wind to break forth in my fury, and there shall be a flooding rain in my anger, and great hailstorms in fury to consume it. So I will break down the wall, and you have plastered with untempered mortar, and bring it down to the ground, so that its foundation will be uncovered, so that its foundation will be uncovered. It will fall, and you shall be consumed in the midst of it. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Thus was my wrath on the wall and on those who have blasted it with untampered mortar. And I will say to you, the wall is not more, nor those who plaster it. That is the prophets of Israel who prophesy concerning Jerusalem and who see visions of peace for her when there is no peace, said the Lord God. Likewise, son of man, set your face against the daughters of your people who prophesy out of their own hearts. Prophesy against them and say, thus says the Lord God, woe to the women who sew magic charms on their sleeves and make veils for the heads of people of every height to hunt souls. Whew. Will you hunt the soul of my people and keep yourselves alive? Come on now, spiritual soul stealers. You better understand, it's in the Word of God. There are those that are looking to steal your soul so they may live longer. Come on. And it says, and will you profane me among my handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread, killing people who should not die and keeping people alive who should not live by your lying to my people who listen to lies? Come on now, folks, speaking death over you. The power of death and life is in the tongue, and we need to understand that those that rush to it, they're going to eat that fruit. Keep messing around and stuff you ain't got no business. You know, folks with the tarot cards and the psychics let me go get my horoscope. Ooh, I'm sorry. Oh, girl, it's all in fun. I'm going to go and see what my future holds. I'm going to go over to this booth at the fair. I mean, that's what those folks, mediums. Well, I need to talk to, I don't need to talk to you. I'll see you when we all get to glory. We need to stop that stuff. It is no joke. And as we go there, it says, therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against your magic charms by which you hunt souls there like birds. I will tear them from your arms and let my souls go and let the souls go. You hunt like birds. I will also tear off your veils and deliver my people out of your hands, and they shall no longer be as prey in your hand. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Come on now, don't mess with God and don't mess with his people. Because with lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad. And you have strengthened the hands of the wicked so that he does not turn from his wickedness, his wicked way to save his life. Therefore, you shall no longer envision fidelity nor practice divination. I will deliver my people out of your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Don't play with God. That's all I got to say. And some life lessons from this chapter, says Ezekiel 13 and 19. Will you profane me among my people for a handful of barley? And this is what Dr. Stanley had to say. He says, when we stray from God's truth, we quickly wind up in a cesspool of ugly transgressions, blasphemy, murder, bribery, perjury. One sin tends to grease the skids for many more sins. You know, you go out there, and the next thing you know, you do this, and then you lie about it. And then you lie about that, and then you have to lie to try to remember the lie that you told the first time. And then you got to cover up here, and you got to cover up there. You got to, you know, try to hide this and try to do that. And before long, you're all twisted up like a pretzel. You got to stop all that stuff. You know, God has already told us what we got to do. And it's the truth. What Dr. Stanley says, one thing leads to another. One blasphemy, one transgression, one commitment of sin against the commandments and the statutes of God And the next thing you know, you're on a roller coaster ride on the way down to the pits of hell. And as we continue, it says this, Ezekiel 13:22, you have strengthened the hands of the wicked so that he does not turn from his wicked way to save his life. We must be very careful how we represent God's message, neither adding to it nor taking away from it. Any true word from the Lord will encourage his people and urge the wicked to turn from evil. You know, we don't have to walk around in fear of anything or anybody, because fear is not of God. Faith is. Hate is not of God. Love is. You know, I'm not going to sit by hurt, you know, because I heard that such and such and such and such. And then, well, I'm not sitting by him, girl. I heard that he's a this or that and the other. And before long, you're not going to have any place to sit, because you don't want to sit by this one, and you don't want to sit by that one, and you don't want to do this, and you don't want to do that. Before long, you're going to be out in the cold, and they're going to be sitting in your seat, because you have decided that you'd rather hate than love. You'd rather walk in fear than walk in faith. We got to walk in faith and not in fear. But God is in charge of everything. And we are in Ezekiel chapter 14. It says, now some of the elders of Israel came to me and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and put before them that which causes them to stumble into iniquity. Should I let myself be inquired of by them? I'm going to read that again because I want to make sure I say it right. Should I let myself be inquired of at all by them? God's like, should I even give them the time of day? Should I even allow these people in my midst? And then it goes on to say, therefore speak to them and say to them, thus says the Lord God, everyone of the house of Israel who sits up his idols in his heart and puts before him excuse me, what causes him to stumble into iniquity. And then the Lord will answer him who comes according to the multitude of his idols, that I may seize the house of Israel by their heart, because they are all estranged from me by their idols. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not worship graven images. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, repent. Turn away from your idols and turn your faces away from all your abominations. For anyone of the house of Israel or of the strangers who dwell in Israel, who separates himself from me and sets up his idols in his heart and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity, then comes to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him myself. I will set my face against that man and make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. And if the prophet is induced to speak anything, I, the Lord, have induced that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand against him and destroy him from among my people Israel. And they shall bear their iniquity. The punishment of the prophet shall be the same as the punishment of the one who inquired, that the house of Israel may no longer stray from me, nor be profaned anymore with all their transgressions, but that they may be my people, and I may be their God, says the Lord God. The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, son of man, when a land sins against me, my persistent by persistent unfaithfulness. I will stretch out my hand against it. I will cut off its supply of bread, send famine on it, and cut off man and beast from it. Saying, and I'm speaking to my country. If America don't get it right and start treating each other the way we're supposed to and claiming to be Christian, if we don't quit allowing lies to prevail over the truth, if we don't quit acting goofy and stupid and walking in fear and not in faith, then understand what he say. Son of man, when a land sins against me by persistent unfaithfulness, I will stretch out my hand against it. I will cut off its supply of bread. Come on now. We all know in last year, couldn't find bread and couldn't find toilet paper. Come on, call it like it was. Couldn't find nothing on the shelves. I got a picture to prove it. And it wasn't this year. It was last year. We were in almost a famine because you couldn't find any of the necessities of life. Couldn't find them. Couldn't find them. Barely find toothpaste. Barely find bread. Bread was scarce. And toilet paper. Of all the things, toilet paper. You couldn't buy, couldn't find toilet paper. Got to the point where they was selling toilet paper one roll at a time for $1. Come on now. We better call it like it was. And if we don't stop acting like we acting, it's going to be the same way again. God don't play that. You know, you trust in man more than you trusting in God. And it goes on to say, even if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they would deliver only themselves by their righteousness, says the Lord God. Think that through. We haven't read Daniel yet. That'll be our next book that we'll be studying as far as chapter of the Bible. But I tell you this, understand. If you read the story of Noah, he was by himself. It was him and his family up against the world. And I say that literally, up against the world. Talked about, vilified, treated like dirt, laughed at, scorned. Because he was building a boat and it didn't rain. Watch God. Don't play. Job went through everything, lost it all, was told to curse God and die. Come on now. Did he do it? No. Told his wife, you woman, you sound foolish. And as we go forth, what happened after he was diligent? Went through some stuff. Didn't know that he was going through because the slimy, sneaky snake slid into heaven and asked to mess with him. But again, who told him about Job? It was God. It was a test. And from that test came a testimony that God provided double for his trouble. Everything that the devil stole from him, God gave it back to him. Daniel, standing up for God's word when everybody else was bowing down to the idol of Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel said, I'm not going to do it. And he would go up to his room, to his house, and he would bow before God like he was supposed to, toward Jerusalem. And of course, the spies came to say, well, you know, King, Daniel. He's not worshiping you like everybody else is supposed to be worshiping you. He's worshiping his God. And I don't know, blah, 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 blah. But the king liked Daniel. He didn't want to have to hurt him. And he told him, he said, I hope your God comes through. I'm paraphrasing. But he said, I hope your God comes through for you as he throws him into the lion's den. But not one lion touched Daniel all night. And then the king came back and said, Daniel, are you all right? And he said, I am. What did the king do? Turned around. And all of the folks that got Daniel thrown in the den, they got thrown in with them, their family, and everything. all of them did. But Daniel, don't touch my anointed, says the word of God. Touch not my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. And as we continue in this word, it says, if I cause wild beasts to pass through the land and they empty it and make it so desolate that no man may pass through because of the beast, even though these three men were in it, as I live, says the Lord God, they would deliver neither son nor daughters, only they would be delivered, and the land would be desolate. He loved these three men. Or if I bring a sword on that land and say, sword, go through the land and cut off men and beasts from it. Cut off men and beasts from it. Even though these three men were in it, as I live, says the Lord God, they would deliver neither son nor daughters, but only they themselves would be delivered. Or if I send a pestilence into the land and pour out my fury on it in blood and cut off from the man and beast, even though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, says the Lord God, they would deliver neither son nor daughter. They would deliver only themselves by their righteousness. But thus says the Lord God, how much more it shall be when I send my fourth severe judgment on Jerusalem, the sword and famine, wild beasts and pestilence, to cut off man and beast from it. Yet, behold, there shall be left in it a remnant who will be brought out, both sons and daughters. Surely they will come out to you, and you will see their ways and their doings. Then you will be comforted concerning the disaster that I have brought upon Jerusalem, all that I have brought upon it, and they will comfort you when you see their ways and their doings, and you shall know that I have done nothing without cause, that I have done it, I have done in it, says the Lord. Trust in the Lord, family. What God says he's going to do, he's going to do. You can take it to the bank. I say it all the time. God is not a man that he should lie. He doesn't lie. He tells the truth. He tells it like it is, and like it is what it is. Because that is God. Don't play with God. Don't act ugly. I tell you one thing. God is God, and he is real. Ezekiel 14:3, these men have set up their idols in their hearts. And Dr. Stanley tells us this. We don't have to set up idols of wood and stone at a physical shrine in order to engage in idolatry. If there is anything that we honor above God, we have already made in an idol in our heart. You got to be careful. Don't put people on pedestals. Don't make your pastor an idol, because pastors don't want to be idols. They just want to be men doing the will of God, or be women doing the will of God. They are not trying to be on pedestals. And if they are trying to be on pedestals and they are trying to put themselves above God, then you are in a cult. I'm calling it like it is. You are in a cult. So Jim Jones, who decided that he was Jesus, who wanted to be God on earth. Come on now. And who made sure that he carried out what he wanted to do with an ironclad fist and guns. And how many, over 900 people died that day, men, women, and children, because he said, drink the Kool-Aid. And if you resisted, a gun was put to your head. Come on now. We understand the devil is an evil being. Creates evil beings. Psalms 122:6-8. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls. Prosperity within your palaces. for the sake of my brethren and companions. I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Proverbs 29:28-9. He who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows frivolity will have poverty enough. You got to put away something for a rainy day, because you never know when the rain's going to come. Like today, and where I live, it's pouring down rain. But I tell you this, rain also comes to heal God's land. And again, family, keep messing with God's planet, this beautiful planet that he gave us. We will go the way of the dinosaurs. We will be extinct. And something else will come in our place. Don't think that God just got us, because he got more than us. We better stop treating this planet the way we do. It is not a dumping ground. It is not a cesspool. It is a blessing from God. And folks are like, oh, well, you know, we're going to dig up. You understand what fossil fuel is. It's dead bones from dead dinosaurs and dead people. It's deadness. That's what fossil fuel is, deadness from the land. Blood, guts, and bones of something that died thousands of years ago, and in millions, in some cases, millions of years ago. It is, yeah. And so all we're doing is putting back into the atmosphere all them spirits, all that stuff, everything. And folks are like, she's talking crazy again. I'm only saying what comes into my spirit, but hey, not going to digress. We're going to get into Hebrews, and we're going to talk about Michelle today. And we understand that is a priesthood. That is who Abram ran into. That is who blessed him and told him what he needed to do. You know, and who Abraham gave a tenth of what he had. But I feel, this is me again, not the word, but me. I feel that when he met Melchizedek, that he was meeting Jesus. I felt that he was meeting Jesus in the flesh and being welcomed into the priesthood. Can only come through Jesus Christ, through his grace. That's just me. Again, that's me talking from everything that I read. I just believe that he was a form of Jesus. It says he was the King of Salim. But I just felt he had that Holy Spirit in him that can only come to Christ. And it says this, for this Melchizedek, King of Salim, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the king and bride, and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated King of Righteousness, and then also King of Salim, meaning King of Peace. See where I come from. King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Prince of Peace. That's just me, like I said. And it goes on to say, without father, without mother, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priestly continually. Remains a priest continually. Y'all read that? Did y'all catch that? I'm going to go back. And it says this, for this Melchizedek, King of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated to King of Righteousness, and then also King of Salim, meaning King of Peace. Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days or nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. It's out there. It's in the atmosphere. And it says this, now consider how great this man was to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And indeed, those who are of the sons of Levi who receive the priesthood have commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law, that is, from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Now beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Here mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them of whom it is witnessed that he lives. Even Levi, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak, for he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be called according to the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed of necessity, there is also a change of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe from which no man has officiated. But it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet for more evident if in the likeness of Melchizedek there arises another priest who has come not according to the law of fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. For he testifies, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. For on the one hand, there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness, for the law made nothing profit. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. And inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath by him who said to him, the Lord has shown and will not relent, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death. Continuing. And I'm going to read that again. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the utmost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. And that's our title for this morning. And we know who the high priest is. We know it's our Savior, Jesus Christ, who makes intercession all day long, morning, noon, and night for us. Because let's call it straight, we are hard-headed, hard-hearted, lot, rebellious. That's what the Lord calls us and called it rebellious, yeah, rebellious lot. We don't want to be rebellious to God. We want to do what thus says the Lord and do it well. And as we go forth, it says, who does not need daily? Let me go back a little bit. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints a high priest, men who have weakness, but the word of the oath which came after the law appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. Hallelujah. We are so blessed to be children of the Most High God who loves us more than anything. We are so graciously blessed to some life lessons for this word this morning. And all I can say is they are real, real good. And it says this, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. And I'm going to read that again. Hebrews 17:19. There is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. There is bringing in a better hope through which we draw near to God. Hebrews 7:19. The law can show us God's righteous demands, but it has no power to help us comply with those demands. Our better hope of salvation through faith in Christ, however, enables us to please God and grow close to Him. Hebrews 7:21. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. The priesthood of Jesus supersedes that of Aaron's line for several reasons. It has a longer history dating to Abraham's days. It boasts a greater heritage since even Abraham paid it homage. It lasts forever. Come on now. The priesthood of Melchizedek is forever. It's the oldest priesthood. Because when God is in it, there's no limit. Hebrews 7:26, such a high priest was fitting for us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. And this is what it says, Dr. Stanley says, as our perfect high priest, Jesus knows exactly how to minister to us in the way that will most benefit us and that will best bring us to maturity in Him. He makes no mistakes and always has our best at heart. Praise be to God. And I have what the Bible says for Hebrews 7:25-27. The grace of God is the title. It said God, grace is God's goodness and kindness to those who do not deserve it. It cannot earn it. Unmerited favor, y'all. Its benefits are available to everyone. Each day, God causes hearts to beat, bodies to heal, love to be given and received, and it all happens regardless of people's opinion of Him. Can y'all say amen? He offers forgiveness to the rebellious, freedom to sinners, and intimacy with Himself to all who trust Christ as Savior. Through Jesus, He offers access in the throne of grace. See Hebrews 4:16. We just read that the other day. That's when the Savior serves as high, interceding for His own. Hebrews 7:25. We know we can approach God confidently because there is no condemnation for those who belong to Him. Romans 8:1. We'll get to that on tomorrow. What amazing grace. It was not always so. Israel, God's chosen people, lived under the law, not under grace. Again, Israel, God's chosen people, lived under the law, not under grace. They, like us, were a disobedient people. God, in His mercy, established the sacrificial system to symbolically provide a way for them to be forgiven of their wrongdoing. Jesus gives us permanent forgiveness because He died once for all sin. Woo, hallelujah. It was humanly impossible to obey every aspect of all 613 commandments God handed down through Moses. But Jesus fulfilled the law for us, and grace makes it count on our behalf. Our Savior sacrificed his life for us. We can approach God's throne. Say hallelujah. As believers, we stand upon the immovable foundation of God's grace. It's over us like a canopy and surround us like a protective wall as the truth of it permeates our hearts and minds. We become expressions of the Lord's love, kindness, and goodness to others. Again, thankful, grateful, and blessed that God gave us Jesus Christ, that God gave us the high priest, that God gave us the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, that God gave us his Son who loves us. He is also able to save to the uttermost through him. If you do not know Jesus today is a good day to be saved. Today is a good day to turn your life over to Christ. Don't let the sun go down on God's wrath against us. And don't let the sun go down on your wrath against anyone else. Forgive everybody. Let it go. Shake it off. Give them to God and watch God work in their life and in yours. And that's all I got this morning. I know it's sounding a little hoarse. It happens when the weather changes on me. But I know that I'm good and I'm great and I'm well, thank you, God. But I have a word for my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. Good morning. Sometimes we worry too much about the outcome that we don't stop and realize God is already taking care of it. Whew. I can say I do that on occasion. You do it on occasion? Hey, family, forgive me. I guess the devil doesn't like what I said. But I don't care. We're going to say what we're going to say, and we're going to say it for God. So God kicked out, but that's all right. But God is good, and we are actually finished. But I do say again, please know that we don't worry. We pray. Give whatever you got going on to God. And remember this, he who is our Savior, Jesus Christ, is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. So, again, give it over to Jesus and watch him work it all out for your good. That's all I have. If there's anyone that would like to speak this morning, if God gave you a word, the number to dial is 213-943-3597. And if not, again, I say thank you to all of you. Thank you for your prayers. I thank you for your words of condolence. I thank each and every one of you for just being in my life. I thank you for listening in. And I thank those that listen in from overseas. I thank you, Japan. I thank you, Canada. I thank you, even Israel. And I thank all of you for listening in, all of you in the Caribbean. And I'm sure I'm missing somebody, but I thank all of you that listen in from the UK. And Great Britain, I thank you all for listening in. Thank you so much. And may God watch over you. May God bless you. May God keep you. And as our word and what we say every day, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other in the precious and holy name of the matchless Savior, Christ Jesus. I pray over you and yours. Be blessed. And know there is only one God and one Savior who is always there interceding for you and for me. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That's all I have, family. It's time to do what? Say it with me. It's time to go to work. And who do we work for? We work for God. Whatever you do, whatever your assignment, do it well for the Lord and be blessed. Is the day that the Lord has made, and we are going to rejoice and be glad in it. So I thank God for all of you again. It is, as we say on Moving Forward, it's a wrap. It's time to go to work.